Jabba, this is your last chance. Free us or die.
This is Return of the Pod.
Right, sons, and welcome to Return of the Pod, a podcast about Star Wars and more, where we discuss and celebrate the movies, shows, books, comics, games, and everything else from the galaxy far, far away, and will occasionally journey to other galaxies. Every generation is a legend, every legend is a podcast, and this is ours. I am your host, Disgraced Jedi and Force Mystic Brian Silliman. Joining me are the greatest co-hosts in the galaxy, starting with former Force-sensitive assassins, Guild member turned droids rights activist Caitlin Bush.
Hello there.
And the smuggler with a not so secret heart of gold, Capitan Matt Romano.
Greetings.
We've got a packed show, really packed show today. I like this show.
Yeah.
I like today's show. I like it a lot.
I agree.
We'll see if I still like it later. But yeah, I like this show. There's a lot in it. There's a lot to get to this week. We'll be getting to all of it in a strangely familiar place because we're back on the deck of an exact replica of our old ship, of Matt's old ship, to be precise, the Starbinger.
Matt, are you, like, feeling weird about this?
No,
right now?
I feel right at home. I'm having a great week. You know that, like, when Han gets on the ship and tells Chewie, like, Chewie, we're home. Like,
Chewie, we're home. You actually had that exact same moment with Brian earlier.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. We Chewie and Han Solo.
And went,
exactly.
Yeah, that's my yeah. No, I mean, I love Chewie, but if we were to cast it, I
No, of course
Chewie.
Not. Yeah.
But no, we're, for lack of a better term, we're just calling it right now the Starbinger 2.
Yeah, Starbinger 2.
So, because it's the entirety of Starbinger Base had to be evacuated, and our friend, the Grand Collector, whose ship this is, was nice enough to let us come along on his ship. We were the last ones out. We had to make sure everyone else was out, was gone, was safe, and they are.
Our patrons are very important to us.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there were little to no casualties. The only people left on Starbinger Base within are bit recurring characters. Mm-hmm. So they're immortal. They're not going anywhere. So don't have to worry about them. But anyway, the Grand Collector was nice enough to have us on his ship, but he is, we were thankful for him, but he's really starting to annoy all of us, isn't he?
He just kind of, like, I don't know, really brings the room down. When I'm not comfortable when he's around. I'm going to say it.
Look, there's a lot of attitude there that, like, really just, it doesn't vibe with me at all, really.
And it's couched, it's very passive microaggressive.
Yeah.
It's both of those things, because it's couched in very nice and being a fan.
Right.
But also, this is what we're going to do.
We're
now.
Not allowed to touch anything.
Would you like to do this?
Yeah.
This is what we're going to do, friend. Yeah, and he always has a very particular interest in you, Matt. It's to a spooky degree.
And that's a good word to describe it. Spooky. You know, that's exactly what I would say. Spooky.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes me uncomfortable for you.
I'm glad we're all on that same page.
Yeah.
And we're thankful, you know, very thankful, grateful, gratitude.
Of course.
We're on a ship.
We
got out of there.
I mean,
it was necessary that he was there. It's like, hey, it's not like that was on purpose or anything, even though it kind of was. But, you know, we'll see how we're feeling later. But, Caitlin, we're in position to pretty much, you know, handle this situation with him, right?
Brian, I've been ready for a week now, so
I thought so. Did you know, back in her assassin days, Matt, they used to call her the goodbye girl?
The goodbye girl.
Sure. Yeah.
Wow, and I did not know that.
They did. She might not want you to know this, but I'm going to say is it was well earned.
Wow.
And among many names, but that's all they knew. It's like, this is all we know about.
I don't know much about Caitlin's assassin past. In fact, you know, I haven't heard many stories about
it. Very few people do, my friend.
I guess that's how it works. That's how the whole thing works.
Right after they learn, they get a very sharp and final goodbye.
Bye, bro. Goodbye, Blade.
You know, it's interesting. I'm wondering if that's going to play into our season-long storyline.
Yeah. Who knows?
Along for the ride is our reprogrammed interrogator droid AZ-00, a.k.a. Azu, who has really been the only one here enjoying himself fully.
Yeah, it's true. The Grand Collector's been showing me all of the Star Wars movies, and they're so good. Have you guys seen these things?
Yeah, it's what most of this podcast is about, is Star Wars.
Yeah,
well, you guys should check these out. They're really good, and they're shows, too. Did you know that? I mean, really good stuff all around. Some are animated, one of them's live action, and there's a lot more coming. So I show up in some of them. I don't know where my residuals are, but you guys should get on this Star Wars thing. Enjoyable.
We'll do that, Az. Thank you for the...
Are you serious? Are you kidding me, man? Is that serious?
That's a...
Matt makes an excellent point.
Okay. All right, Azu, the least popular
droid. Is that a Jar Jar candy tongue? Is he holding a candy tongue?
I can't do this right now. No, we're moving on. They're really tasty.
He's got a whole fridge full of them. The Grand Collect is wonderful.
I hate it.
I really enjoying his company.
Oh, we're taking care of this soon.
All right, Azu, officially the least popular droid we've ever worked with, according to the
fans.
Nobody
likes him. Nobody.
And behind the scenes glimpse, we don't like the actor who plays you either. But anyway, please float away now. We are recording on June 7th, 2021, and we have a new episode of Star Wars, The Bad Batch.
They call themselves The Bad Batch.
To discuss, and we're going to jump into the Moochie madness after that.
The Rancor is Moochie?
Later on in the show, because... That was a whole thing. Before any of that, it's time for some news on the march.
News on the march.
Caitlin Ambush, what do we got?
Yeah, so 2 points. The first one, thank you, Matthew, for pointing out that today is Dave Filoni's 47th birthday.
Yeah.
So let's fire the cannon in celebration of Dave Filoni's birthday.
Beautiful. We should fire it again. Fire it again for Dave Filoni.
Three blasts in rapid succession, if you please.
There you go. That's the official birthday.
Well, that's one nice thing. We as pointed out last week, this Star Butcher 2 does have an upgraded cannon. So this is really its inaugural test.
That's nice.
But it's for all the cannon he's given us, let's give a little cannon back to him.
Sure, that's it.
I don't know what that meant.
Yeah, that's good.
Come on,
I got it.
That made sense.
It's good.
Happy birthday, Mr. Filoni.
Hey, there's some trademark issues there, my dude.
Oh, cool.
So
happy birthday, Mr. Filoni.
Better, yeah. We're very
from so Chili's to you.
Our second piece of news. My God.
Yeah.
It just came out here today, I believe.
This is hot news. Hot
and
off
so
the
this is Ooh. This is we are recording on June 7th, so that is today, not today when you are listening. We have learned that the next Actors on Actors series, which is the series that Variety puts out, in which they have actors talk to actors, it's a aptly named series. One of the discussions in this season is going to be between Ewan McGregor and Pedro Pascal. Oh. Which is going to have Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Hello there.
And Din Djarin.
This is the way.
Sitting down together in a beautiful studio and discussing acting, which inevitably, I'm sure, will lead to some amount of discussion about Star Wars, maybe.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I'd say if it doesn't, they're like, okay, let's do it again. Talk about Star Wars this time.
All right, kids. You know why we're here. Let's go.
It could be all about Narcos and Moulin Rouge, but...
Which, you know, that would be great. I'll also note that the next group also includes Catherine Hahn, talking to Jason Sudeikis.
Good matchup. That's a good matchup.
I'm almost more excited for that one.
Yeah. Ray J. Jean Page and Emma Corrin and Kaylee Cuoco and Elizabeth Olsen. So, I mean, we got a lot of stuff that we would have talked about here on the pod in the past.
Yeah, those are all good. That is some quality entertainment coming up. You got Kaylee Cuoco. She's great. You know what? She's great on that Harley Quinn. I love that
Fantastic.
Harley Quinn.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
No, and there's no accident that they put those two together, Pedro and Ewan. And they're absolutely going to talk about Star Wars.
Want to do Star Wars, they said. I said two f***ing right.
That's Obi-Wan Kenobi. Kenobi. That's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
But that's I mean, that's generally a good series, but that just got me really excited because I'm like, Catherine Hahn and Ted Lasso on the same thing. What's that going to be about? But there wasn't there one extra little tidbit, Caitlin, or did that wrap her up?
That wrapped her up, I think, unless you're thinking of something that I'm not thinking of.
Am I thinking of something, Matt? Am I thinking of something?
I don't know what you're thinking of.
I'm thinking of a big, hot piece of news. Can you tell me what it is?
No, I can't. But I'm on the edge of my seat. Because
I can't remember it, so I don't. Okay. I have no.
It was not a hot piece of news.
Are we missing something?
No, I can't tell if you know or you
missing,
don't know.
I'm missing large sections of my memory today, so I was actually asking. That'll do it for News on the March. With that,
once again, your most reliable source for news.
For Star Wars news, especially if it's been out already for months. And even then, we'll probably get it wrong. Matt and myself will get it wrong. Caitlin, bless her, is having to deal with it. She almost always gets things right, except for that one time. But we don't talk about that one time, and we just don't go in there. So anyway, with that, we're going to charge back into Star Wars The Bad Batch.
They call themselves The Bad Batch.
Now, we're going to discuss and celebrate the Kark and Criff out of this new episode. Just every single corner, every bit of it. No piece of this is going to be left untouched. We're going to spoil the whole thing. For new canon reveals, we have our canon. We have hot takes along the way. We've got the hot take alarm. If anything really blew our minds, we'll let loose with the seismic mind charge. Maybe this will be the week. It's been a while. It's been since the premiere when this show has made us set off a seismic mind charge.
I know.
Will this be the week?
Maybe this is it.
Probably
this
not.
Might be it.
But, it might be.
Spoiler alert. Not for me, but but no, this episode, as I said, has been out for a few days on Disney Plus, and we don't want to spoil any of it for you if you haven't seen it. That said, we're going to be getting into massive spoilers, so be warned. We're going to be in spoiler territory. So for good measure, we will sound that we got a spoiler klaxon on this ship,
too. Yeah, everything sounds good. All this
Is really here.
The Grand Collector thought of everything.
He really is a meticulous detail kind of dude.
Yeah.
He truly is a Grand Collector.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it comes with a spoiler klaxon. You know, when you hear that, after Werner stops talking, everything's fair game, including everything that ever happened on Star Wars Rebels. So, without further ado, let's sound the spoiler klaxon. That's right, it's me, Vanner. I'm back. I used to be a bigger part of this show, but now I'm just relegated to the spoiler klaxon. I don't know what that's about. I'm also a big movie director. Woo-woo, all aboard my magical train. Build a baby, now they can have Gandalf as well. What is that, Caitlin and Bush?
Oh, Gandalf.
There is a clear order in which to watch Star Wars The Bad Batch, Episode 6, and then listen to our podcast.
Here we go again. Punch it!
Good soldiers follow orders.
Cavalry has arrived!
Star Wars The Bad Batch, Episode 6, released on June 4th, 2021 on Disney+. Directed by Nathaniel Villanueva. Written by Amanda Rose Munoz. Story editor, Matt Michnovitz. Decommissioned is the name of the episode.
Yeah!
We're still on Ord Mandel, because Matt, you didn't want to leave,
did you? No, I love it. I love that this is the place where everybody knows your name. You know what I'm talking about?
Scum and villainy.
Quite literally, yeah. And where Omega is getting in some practice with her new laser bow as bar patrons bet on her. More on these bar patrons in a little bit, coming up in real talk, because there's a listener pointed something interesting out about these bar patrons. Mm-hmm. One of them including the Authorian in a blue romp him.
I want to get to this right away, but yes.
It's like if Taika Waititi was an Authorian. But anyway, it doesn't have pineapples on it. So Echo is doing the teaching, and I have to say right off the if anyone kind of, once again, Echo, because of one particular exchange that we'll get to, steals this episode for me.
Oh, yes.
But we'll get to it in a little bit.
Yes, I know which one you're talking about.
I'm sure you do. It's one of the funniest things I've heard Star Wars do in a long time.
Yep.
But anyway, I mean, we're always laughing. You know, we're always living and laughing. Laughing it up.
This was a real who's on first situation.
Yeah. This had me cackling by myself. at 8 a.m. in the morning on a Friday. Anyway, so Echo is doing the teaching and teaching her that soldiers need to be consistent and they need to tune out distractions. So it's not enough to just you try 10 times. Well, I hit it 3 times. Not enough.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, this is what soldiers are going to do. And I bet good soldiers also follow orders.
No.
You're going to go there, Echo? Thankfully, he doesn't. Sid rolls up, and guess what she has for everybody? She's got a side quest. It's a side quest. Sid rolling up with another side quest. I hope you want to go to a factory and bag ahead. It's this week's side quest. Yeah.
I decided that Sid is, like, I think Sid is my new favorite character.
Oh, yes.
Sid is, in this series.
Sid is great. Because in Rapid Six, she's got some choice lines, and then you know what it's going to build up to. But she says, I assume you boys know what a tactical droid is. And we of course, know what they are. They were the ones that caused all kinds of...
This is my briefing goggles.
I love the tactical droid. Love the tactical droid.
You're big famous fan. For loving the tactical droids.
I love him. He's one of my favorites.
You've got a tactical droid costume.
Oh, I wish. Actually. I wish. I'm going to get
you
one.
You don't even wear on Halloween. Yep. You just... wear
oh,
it
yeah.
on the regular.
And expect people to deal
great
with
great idea.
It. And they do. Yeah. but if anything, the tactical droids was, for me, the Separatists being a little too good.
Yeah.
It's like you're a decoy army of idiots that's meant to be disposable.
Yeah.
The tactical droids are a little too good.
Well, that's why I liked them, because it actually made them like a formidable enemy, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. But they're learning things that they should, and retaining things that they shouldn't know, which is how we end up with a tactical droid head full of information about how to fight what's now an empire can be a valuable asset. Yeah.
And it's almost like that's a plot point in this week's episode.
Yeah, exactly. It's like they're decommissioned,
but
they're still valuable.
I understand the title now. See, I have to always listen to the show to get it.
It's going to have another level. It's going to blow your mind later.
Oh,
this episode may not have blown your mind, Matt, but you know what's going to? Me. So side quest in full bloom. Go get the tactical droid head. And it's on Corellia, where we just were.
Yeah.
I was like, coincidence? I think not.
Nope.
In any case, Hunter's like, oh, wait a minute. We haven't really, you're treating us like we're already employees. We haven't not signed anything yet.
Mm-hmm.
We have not, the paperwork is not even processed. We
haven't even reviewed my benefits yet.
And this is what kind of made me fall even more for Sid.
We haven't decided if we're going to work for you or not.
Allow me to decide for you. You're in.
Yeah.
It's like, well, when you put it like that, and then goes on to say, you make money, I make money, and I watch your back. I'm like, okay, so everyone makes money. This is now a show about money and side quests. She then gives Omega a laser bow lesson of her own. She's got to build up her arm strength so she doesn't release too soon. She calls her noodle arms.
Love it.
At one point. Yeah.
Love it.
And then she walks the talk. She grabs the bow and blasts 3 beams right on target, and then says, lesson over. So
she's
Sid
so
has
cool.
been through mm-hmm. some stuff. Don't mess with Carla. Sid, Caitlin, you were talking about how Sid's your new favorite character. She's been through it. She's
My
been
God.
Through some,
oh, yeah.
She's seen some things.
And I hope that I'm sure we'll learn more about her in fits and starts throughout the entire season. I hope that she stays around because I want to get to know her, and also because I want more Carla in the series.
Yeah, well, and we're going to get that episode now if I'm going to make a hot take. Hot take. I'll take a look. There you go. That we're just going to get that episode where, like, they save her. Like she's going to be in a perilous position where they really prove their loyalty.
And her past comes back to haunt her, and
exactly.
they have to save her.
Yeah. It's an episode where we learn about her, but, you know, that's what's going to happen.
I kind of want that. I'd also like to know what, I think Sid is short for something.
Oh.
I'd like to know what it's short for. I'd also
Sidious?
Like to know, like,
Darth
well,
Sidious?
Were
oh, no,
you
no, no.
once? Yeah, exactly. She's actually Darth Sidious.
But it's with
like,
a C. That
but wasn't fooling anybody.
Yeah.
But yeah. God. I'm not.
Oh, Lord.
Hideous.
No, we're
hideous.
Not. We're moving along.
Okay,
we're
moving along.
This is not a path we're doing.
Is it Celeborn or Celeborn? I don't know. So, now, one of the reasons I like Sid is, aside from Trandoshan doing things we don't usually see Trandoshans do, aside and also a female one, is that she's new.
Mm-hmm.
She hasn't existed in the Star Wars storytelling before, and she's new.
Mm-hmm.
So everything about her is, we've seen characters like her, but there's a lot to discover.
It's
and
exciting.
As we'll get to, it's this is there's a lot of this show so far is Here's another thing that ties back to this. Here's another thing that ties back to something. Sid's not, as far as we know, is tied to nothing.
Yeah, not
just
yet.
Brand new.
Not yet.
Not yet. Yeah. So not yet. Not yet. She turns out and she's Bosk's mom.
Whoa, it's like, Mrs. Bosk.
Live. It's
oh,
like,
no.
Bosk, do you miss your mom? Well, we brought her today. Come on in, Bosk's mom. Da 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 da. Bosk's mom coming soon to Disney Plus.
Oh,
and
no.
Also, dun, 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 dun. Cut two.
I'm into
their
it.
Their ship
I'm
is stuck
it.
To the. Yeah, I know you're into it. Their ship is stuck to the bottom of a cargo ship going to Corellia, and it's this whole trick again. Never fails. It gets them past the sensors every time. And Omega asks, "Why is this droid important? Pretty much, why are we doing this? What's going on?
I don't
know
where
I am."
You get a little bit of, like, interpretation. If you didn't watch Clone Wars, here's what tactical droids are. Mm-hmm.
It's like, look, I was stuck on Kamino the whole time with those long necks. I don't really know what's going on. I have yet to stream the Clone Wars, like certain interrogator reprogrammed interrogator droids. I might mention that
I was wearing a bracelet on my head. I don't know.
I don't know.
I had this medallion on my head. It kept falling off. I just recently took it off. I don't know. And Echo says, the more tactical droids fought, the more they learned and won. And Wrecker's like, yeah, except against us.
Yeah, Wrecker.
My Wrecker is getting worse.
No, it's all right.
With clones now serving the Empire, knowing how to defeat them just went up in value.
So he's not wrong.
Yeah.
He's not wrong about that. They get in and they fall out and there are police droids on guard. Wrecker also, we find out pretty quickly, does not like ladders.
Mm. Yeah, a little afraid of heights.
I think it's a heights thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's heights, which I don't like heights either.
Yeah.
I'm anti-height.
Who could blame him?
Matt, would you go so far as to say that Wrecker is anti-ladder?
You know, I think he's more of a pull it down than a pull it up, you know, sort of thing.
All right.
That's a good way to pull it. But to put it.
That's a good way.
Oh, no.
Honestly, it just comes out sometimes.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So, no, if he was running for some kind of elected office, do you think he'd run on an anti-ladder campaign? Matt, this is
a
question
for you. That's a hot
button
topic right now.
I think the Wrecker would have a lot more to campaign about than ladders. Like, he's got a lot
more.
Not
what I asked.
Okay.
Answer the question.
Sure.
Is Wrecker anti-ladder?
Yes, he's anti-ladder.
Would he campaign on it?
He's anti-ladder. He's not going to climb. He's going to have, like, rip the building down and, you know, all the...
Rip the building. Yeah. I will rip the building down
Before I use a ladder, exactly.
Is that just what it's going to say in the posters?
That's just what it's going to be. That's going to be the first ad.
Well, I don't know if I agree with you on that.
You're
going to
alienate a lot of voters there. Matthew.
Yeah. I was backed into a corner. I don't know.
You were backed in the corner, but you came out swinging, didn't you? It sounds a little extreme to me, Matt Romano.
Yeah.
Sounds like an extreme take. I don't know if I would have gone that far, but okay. Now, I love the look of animated Corellia. I thought it was gorgeous. This is one. Say what you want about the story of this show, and we're all enjoying it. It's not like I'm going to say what you want. I hate it, but, you know, but I'm not. We're not saying that. One thing I don't think you can debate is the beauty of the animation week after week.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
It's just the beauty of the animation and the nuance of the character expressions and everything like that just have stepped up. But it was great seeing animated Corellia because we've really only seen it the one time in Solo, right?
That Solo scene. Oh, I love the opening of Solo. I mean, I can watch that just sort over. Just the beginning.
Until it gets to the part with the name, which you wrongfully hate, right?
You know, I thought about it. I'm not going to get into it. Anyway.
No.
You
don't need to. A couple listeners wrote to me this week about that.
Oh,
and were like,
man.
I agree with you.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, I agree. You should hear Matt's take on Wrecker and Ladders. Anyway, around this point, I want to see if this is the same for you guys. We're on Corellia. And around this point, I'm figuring, okay, we're probably going to see some, if it was any other planet, I wouldn't have thought this, but we're going to see some kind of familiar face. I thought we could certainly see, they could finally pull the trigger on Young Han.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people's head went that way because immediately that's what I said too.
That's where I went.
Like his first mission or something, you know, his first
or something.
Scrap up,
it's like,
you know,
finding him, the white worms, the scrum rats.
Yeah.
I thought maybe even Lady Proxima, who popped up recently in the comics.
Or maybe
that's
who
a
popped
good
up
one.
Recently in the comics.
Exactly. Yeah,
right. Big spoiler.
Spoiler alert. I had that. I was going to say that later. I was prepping that and put a big spoiler around it. Ooh. Well, I guess it's out now. Okay.
We can bleep it.
Listen to it later. Listen to it later in the show. See, it's good tease.
Yeah.
But who wouldn't want to bleep? Okay, pump the brakes. We're talking about my beloved.
Whoa, okay, I didn't even go anywhere.
You're the one who said it. All right.
Madness continuing.
I'm sorry, Caitlin. There's no need for that kind of language. So it turns out we don't get that. The familiar faces we get weren't the ones that I was expecting. So in the factory, there turns out to be only one head. There are only one head left.
The rest are gone.
Yep.
Yeah, they've got no head except for one. And they run into two smugglers who are also after the head. It's like the beginning of Raiders, except it's a different kind of head. Right, Matt?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, thank you. Nailed it. Turns out the two smugglers that are also after the head are none other than Trace and Rafa Martez, played by Bridget Colley and Elizabeth Rodriguez, last seen in the 4-episode arc they had in season 7 of Star Wars, The Clone Wars. Question, Caitlin M. Bush, did you like seeing them again?
Yes. And we had a lot of discussion about this when we discussed season 7 in the old show, where a lot of people had some issues with those 4 episodes. It kind of slowed the pace down a little bit. Mm-hmm. It was something different than a lot of the rest of season 7 that we saw for the Clone Wars. But it was this completely necessary, in my mind, and I know that we agreed on this. It was a completely necessary moment of character building for Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm.
You learned she is now kind of separated from the Jedi Order for the first time, really, and interacting with people outside of it and trying to figure out what her new place in the galaxy is. She meets these two young women who are sisters and who have a great impact on her. And the fact that we're kind of getting to see them again, that they're not to get into it too much, but clearly involved in the rebellion from the very beginning.
Yep.
It's really great, and I'm so happy to see them back. I saw them on the screen for the first time. You know, they pulled off the helm, and I was just like, oh, yeah, cool. We're here.
That mega makes perfect sense.
You had a positive reaction when you had that.
I was so excited.
Yeah. I agree with you very much that those 4 episodes are very much more of a slow burn thing. It's nice having Ahsoka back in those things, but it's like, we want Siege of Mandalore. It's like, well, you're going to have to earn
it. You're going to get it.
It means more when you finally get it, because Ahsoka has to grow to get there and learn about the state of the galaxy. And there, we've talked about this a lot, about how I'd say essential those 4 Martez sister episodes are. And also just, here's how things are. You're not a clone. You're not a Jedi. You're a civilian. Here's how life can be. And also, they own a space laundromat, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Space laundromat.
Matt Romano. Yeah. Question for you.
Hit me.
Daisy chaining off this, if
you
will.
Go for it.
Is this becoming with now? For the record, I like them appearing too.
Yeah.
I was like, cool. I'm happy to see them. And then I said,
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
Is this becoming Canon Connections, the show? Because every week, pretty much every week, something or someone like this has popped up that has a connection to larger canon. We talked about it last week. We talked about that we liked it.
Yeah.
Some people I'm noticing are not, and it's pretty much become Clone Wars season 8.
Yeah.
Instead of it's a show with its own identity. Do you, Matt Romano, like that? Or do you personally wish that Star Wars The Bad Batch did more to be its own thing and tell more of its own story with every episode? Or do you think it'll eventually grow to be both?
Yeah, I don't think I'm ready to judge the series yet. I mean, that's been a big part of it thus far.
I'm going to need you to make a judgment right now.
Enough of these, like, ultimatums.
There's a lot of ultimatums this week.
There's a lot of ultimatums this
week. I don't know what you're talking about. I simply made a humble demand.
Anyway,
no ultimatum.
I'm not ready to judge the show, but I think a lot of this stuff, these connections are necessary. It does feel a little bit like Clone Wars season 8, but I like that. Like, it's not necessarily Clone Wars season 8. It's just this world that Dave Filoni has created. I mean, you can argue that Rebels is Clone Wars season 9. You know, if you really
like season 13,
right?
Yeah,
we're just all seeing stories of like how the rebellion started, and all these people are connected. And then seeing like the Martez sisters, it's like amazing, because that's a new connection that I didn't know, with new characters I just met. So it's still all very new to me. It doesn't feel like so much like canon connections, the show.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, man. I think even if it was, because for the moment it does kind of feel like Clone Wars season 8, but without Jedi.
Why is that a bad thing?
Yeah.
No, exactly.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I was about to say, is that's not a bad thing for me. It's like, I obviously love Clone Wars, and this is more of it. So, you know, from a certain point of view, it's good, but just going past. So it's definitely not a bad thing. You're absolutely right. All joking aside, Matt, it's way too early
to be
judging it for one thing or another. We have six episodes.
Yep.
So this is just where we are right now. We're just taking the pulse, if you will, of everything else. But as Star Wars fans are bound to do, some of them are annoyed by this. I have seen.
But you know what this is becoming too? And maybe this is a stupid way to put it, but it's like all the Marvel movies you can just call Avengers 1 through 50, you know, if you really wanted to. It's like it's all the same universe. They're all connected. Every story impacts the other.
It's true.
It's just like
that is a stupid way to put it.
But you're right. If you align the two, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, just Star Wars. We're watching Star Wars.
Final question on this thing. Say they pop it with characters that we already know pop in like this. It's a familiar thing that never bothers me, but it does bother some people. Do you think, Caitlin and Bush, I want to circle back to you. Do you think it makes the Star Wars galaxy feel small?
That's interesting because... I think small is the wrong word. I think that Star Wars has always and proven that it is about the same damn family doing the same damn thing over and over again. You look at even like once you get to Rise of Skywalker and you see Rey take on the Skywalker name. And whenever people were talking about who is Rey's family from, you guys know that I am a big advocate of Rey from nowhere, Rey nobody. I loved that. But the main ideas were that she was a secret Skywalker, she was a secret Kenobi, she was a secret what have you. Star Wars has to have this balance between the familiarity and the nostalgia of everything that people expect and demand, but then trying to give people something new at the same time. And finding that balance between a very contentious fandom and one that has been around as long as it has been is incredibly tricky. And so to see these animated shows that are meant as a family viewing experience. It is an all ages viewing experience. So a 5-year-old can find as much joy in this as a 50-year-old. And to satisfy all of those people, you have to have familiar faces, you have to have familiar characters and storylines and story beats. The fact that people are a little bit upset about that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
Not everybody. I mean, but others are pointing out it's like, oh, it's another show. There's a kid. The kid may be force sensitive.
Right.
Everyone's after the kid. Where have I seen that before?
It's the joy and the familiarity. You know, and if people, and we've proven in the past that if the storyline gets too far outside of what people expect Star Wars to be, you look at the backlash that happened with like The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
When you get to that space where it takes it in a different direction than what people are expecting, the backlash is really ugly. So you have to find this weird balance between the familiarity and also something that people are excited to learn about.
And I think you nailed it with the Disney Plus thing, Caitlin, too. Like, just because like it is a family viewing experience, and that nostalgia, that fine line of something new and something old is very tough to do.
Yeah.
I also, I mean, I'm really trying hard not to veer off. Okay, and now three hours where we talk about Rey from nowhere.
Right.
Deciding it doesn't matter where I came from. Doesn't matter my blood. I'm going to choose who I'm going to be, and I'm choosing to be a Skywalker and whatever. We're not going to go down that rabbit hole because I love talking about that, but we're not going to do it. But you know what? I think you're absolutely right about stuff like that. And I think a good example. Just before we veer off of this topic and get to the rest of the actual episode that we watched, is say a show like Matt, you watched this show along with me, is Star Wars Resistance.
Yes,
where that was not that had very aside from BB-8 in most episodes and a little Poe Dameron here and there and a little Captain Phasma, it had very little that was familiar. It was all new characters. It was racing and everything based at younger audiences even than this.
Yep.
But a lot of people just checked right out of that because it didn't feel like Star Wars at all.
It wasn't the nostalgia. It didn't have the nostalgia factor that a lot of people
and I'm
demands.
Not saying, well, if they just put the Martez sisters, who didn't exist at the time, if they just put them on Resistance, then it would have been a bigger hit because that show meant a lot to a lot of people.
Well, and you know what? But Resistance might have been a totally different show if they didn't call it Resistance, because at the end of the day, what bothered me the most about that show was that it was trying to harp on this like new nostalgia for the new movies, but and lay like, oh, it's about the Resistance, but then it wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, Like, you could have called it, Space Race, as, and I would have liked it better. Well, no.
That's the thing, Matt. As we both found out when it finished, it was never about the Resistance.
Yeah.
It was about Resistance, the concept.
The concept, exactly.
What does it take for each individual person to resist?
Right, which is cool. What's all the good. Price I like Resistance. The same.
And no, it's great. Yep. And we're fans of it. It's just... And when people loved that, they really loved it.
Yeah.
And it's very important to a lot of people. So I'm not bashing that show. It's just it didn't catch fire in a way like that Rebels or Clone Wars did.
Right.
And it was also for a different audience. And I think some of it, at least, it's here's a station on the water and they have races and that's a lot of it.
Yeah.
You know what you were saying? It was tilted too much in the other direction.
Yeah.
How do you get that balance right? Happy, 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 happy birthday, Dave Filoni. Get that balance right.
Well, and thank you for coming to my TED Talk on Resistance.
Yeah.
And
Star Wars Resistance.
No, I think, but when you're basing an entire show, I think of that.
Because
it's like that was one way, you know, the other direction. And we'll see. We'll see how this goes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, well, as we continue to chart state, the Bad Batch, for the return of the Martez sisters, cannon fire. So we then have this whole runaround in this factory with it's a little game of capture the head with Omega, the Batch, the Martez sisters, and security droids all in the mix. And I do like how the Batch at one point goes ham on some droids. There's just something so calming about clones ripping droids apart.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah.
No offense to droids.
Well, it looks like fun. Anything, looks like some fun, doesn't it? You know,
We've talked about this too. You know, there's a difference between, you know, droids and imperial droids.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
There are droids and then there are droids.
Yeah.
So something else this show is doing every week. It's week number 117 of Wrecker Headache Moments.
Yeah. It's nothing.
I've got a headache this big. It's how big is it this week? Red flag!
Red flag's here!
Red flag!
I'm so worried about Wrecker.
He's swinging across an area to get to some controls. He hits his head, and this is the farthest they've gone with the headache plot line, because this actually puts him out of the action for about 5 minutes, and he would have been useful in those 5 minutes.
Yeah.
He gets out two words of the trigger line. He says, good soldiers, and he says that a couple times. We know the rest. And in case we forgot, they give us voiceover of Crosshair saying the whole thing.
So was it? No, or just, was it him? I don't care. Was it?
I had the captions on.
Yeah, okay.
Our good old friend, the caption said
the
Crosshair.
So that's even worse. He's in his head.
Hey, Wrecker, what are you doing? Get up, Wrecker. And kill them all, Wrecker.
And that has been a glimpse inside the head of Matt Romano, everybody.
Crosshair.
That is great.
You'll get caught up in the crosshair.
Oh, beautiful.
I'm really interested in the fact that Wrecker, whenever he's like holding this back and you can tell he's kind of swallowing it down, he buries his head kind of under his arms and just keeps saying no, 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 no. But it reminded me very much of a little kid who's had a nightmare and is like burying themselves under a blanket or a pillow or something.
So partially you're saying it could be physical, but it also could be some spiritual pain going on.
I think it's
here.
A spiritual, emotional, like, I think there's a lot of different kind of pain going on here, because he doesn't want it. All of a sudden he's being thought to be like this guy who he's kind of programmed in a way. We don't know the exact extent to which the chip is affecting him, but he's a good dude. Yeah. And now,
and we would be very happy to not explain it to you.
There we go. But yeah, he's in pain in many different kinds of way, and that hurts my heart.
Yes.
Continuance about this on this question, Caitlin and Bush, this is at the point now where it is actively interfering with his job performance. As far as I remember, he has not told anyone else, oh, by the way, this has been happening for weeks. He's not asking for help, which is it's not a weakness, strongest thing you can do. But are you ready for them to stop with the foreplay and for them to just start dancing? It's like, can we address this, please? Can you tell everyone?
I think the others know that he's had a headache in the past. I think he's expressed that when it first started. But I don't know if they know to what extent that it is. I feel like Tech is going to figure it out soon, though. Like, I feel like in the next episode.
Or he probably already already has, and he's just like, what, the rest of you didn't?
Or, and he's going to reveal it to everyone, he's just be pull like, one oh, those. You guys are really behind. Sorry.
It's a thing now. It's obvious. Matt Romano, are you ready for this to stop being, you know, a side part of episodes and take front and center?
Yes. I kind of have a hot take, but it kind of involves information that we learn later in the episode.
We'll sound it now. So, we've already sounded the spoiler effects and go for it now. I don't care.
So just go for it now?
Go for it now.
Why not?
Okay. So the Martez sisters at the end of the episode, they're talking to somebody on the Hollow. Yeah. Got to be Ahsoka, right?
No, and it's, who not, in the it's galaxy, absolutely not Ahsoka.
You don't think it's Ahsoka?
No.
Okay, fine. Well, let me tell you why it's a hot take and why I think it's Ahsoka, okay?
It's not Ahsoka.
Here we go. Yeah, okay. But, well, here it goes. Okay, go. Yeah. Who in the galaxy knows how to remove an inhibitor chip right now?
Rex,
sure. But also Ahsoka? Maybe Ahsoka, like, learning about these clones, going out to find them, like, now she's interested? I don't know.
There are options.
Yeah.
There are options, but that one is wrong.
I mean, they meet Rex, and Rex is like, Ahsoka took this out of my head. We got to go meet Ahsoka, you know? And yeah. I don't know. That's
and all
how
of a sudden, it's Mandalorian Season 2 again.
I don't know. Maybe they're all right,
no,
fine.
It's very clear that you don't know. It's not a very well thought out hot take, is it?
Hot takes don't need to be well thought out. They're hot takes for the reason.
Okay, so the tactical head keeps getting tossed around. Omega at one point is stuck on a droid conveyor belt that's headed into the furnace. And I felt like this was some kind of mashup of Attack of the Clones and Toy Story 3.
Yes.
I'm like, a second, I'm like, they're gonna kill her. No, I didn't. There's no.
And they're all gonna hold. They're all gonna hold hands as they go into the fire. Like,
Omega just grabs a droid's hand that's not even connected to a droid anymore,
and then burns to a crisp. Yeah. Like,
and then also Terminator 2. Yeah. And then Terminator 2. She gives her thumbs up and goes down.
And the mystery of Omega will die with her. No, she survives. The Martez sisters and the Batch eventually decide to work together to get the Kriff out of there, with Rafa making it clear,
fine, but I still don't like you.
I'm used to it.
And this is yet another moment. I'm like, okay, Rafa, you're here. I'm going to need you here. It's like, let's just tone this down a little. Yeah. Trace, I'm like, you're good. You've always been the more logical one. Rafa, that's common.
She's got a lot going on.
Let's just take it down.
Yeah.
I mean, so do we all. Anyway, but then we get a section of, here's the section of dialogue that made me laugh out loud. It was so good.
We need a diversion. What we need is a diversion.
Is there an Echo in here?
Yes.
What?
I'm Echo.
Really? Okay, Echo. We need a distraction. And he can help with that.
It was a it's a combination of Rafa's responses. We need a diversion, and what we need is a diversion. It's like it's a new thing.
It's
but
so
also
good.
The way Echo just walks in and kneels down
into frame.
It's and it's like also this is used to be my bit. This is why I used to be called Echo because this is what I used to do. Now it's more or less spiritually because I'm an echo of who I used to be. The jury's still out. Oh. What a merry exchange this was. But so what is the diversion? Trace uses the head to activate some battle droids and tech helps to boost it when they come online. Here's another funny moment. One of the battle droids is, what's happening? And another says, I don't know. Did we win?
Yeah.
And they attack the security droids because, as they say, orders are orders. So
hey, it's like every once in a while you think you're done with the battle droids and then they're back for a little more comic relief.
Always use some battle droid comic relief. Let's be honest.
Yep. Never. Done.
Yep, it's, you know what? If they came back in Star Wars 10, I'd be like, yep, give me more.
Yep, makes sense.
Hey, Attack of the Battle Droids.
Couldn't stand it at first. Can't get enough of it now. It's just like me for a lot of people. Anyway, Recco. Did you know there's this new clone called Recco?
Recco.
Oh, yeah.
He's on the scene. He's like, hey, everybody, I'm Recco. No, Wrecker is back in action at this point. Omega has her bow back, which she temporarily lost. She gets in some good shots, and she tunes out those distractions. So she puts her lesson into practical use. The head gets lost in all this, but they all get picked up by R7, who's the Martez sister's droid, and they go off in a ship in what I'm assuming is the Martez's ship, the Silver Angel.
Yeah,
it looked like the same ship. So I'm just, they never say.
Yeah, we get a good view.
It's good to be back on our ship, the Silver Angel again. But I'm assuming it's the Silver Angel. Omega says Sid won't be happy, and Rafa gets mad because they didn't really know who they were giving the info to. And yet again, I'm like, Rafa, Let's take it down. About, you know, your first just couple episodes. Guys.
She's really, like, she's on this, like, rebellion, like, holier than thou. You
and,
know,
like, she's
she
on the
just
pink cloud
discovered
stage.
Politics.
Yeah,
you know?
She's on the pink, she's pink clouding it. I'm like, you're the last time we saw you, you were working with the Pikes and everything else. So, again, gonna need you here. Trace says our contact needed that information to fight back against the Empire. They're trying to help people and make things better. So this has got to be the first sputterings of the rebellion. They don't outrightly say it, but it happened really quick. Because what are we, still a couple weeks out of Empire? How long do you think these six episodes have happened? Just a couple weeks, if that.
It makes sense. You know, the downfall of the Republic was so sudden and so extreme that it makes sense that the rebellion would light and dark, you know, rise to meet each other
Exactly, because we got characters that are locked and loaded and already ready. Saw Gerrera was already fighting, so we just switched what he was fighting about. And then other characters saw this coming. They were fighting from within the Senate, like Mon Mothma and Bail
Organa.
It was
the Padmes of the world, you know.
Right. They were fighting within that and a voice of dissent, and now it's like, well, now we're a rebellion, because this is obviously gone. The infrastructure in a lot of ways was already in place.
Yeah.
So they could just take off and go.
And Bail gets a firsthand look at it, you know, like Bail Organa. Like, he's the guy that walks out of that thing and is like, tells everybody right away. Like, and he has connections to everything. So I'm not surprised that starts right away.
Nope.
No, and we'll get to more of him in a minute. And also a return to why you're wrong about certain things. Now, Rafa again is like, why aren't you fighting for the Empire? Isn't that what you clones do now? Like, again, pump the brakes. Hunter,
I understand the there's like a bit of betrayal there in her mind, though. I understand it too,
but I'm like, last time I looked, you're not a Jedi. You didn't train at the council, you in the temple. You didn't have like all of your friends shot dead. Let's stop with the holier than thou. Let's calm it down.
All right. There's some contention here. I'm sensing it.
Jeez. All right.
Tone down the attitude, Rafa. Right. It's not that I still like you very much. Yeah. Let's just please have a little conversation. And at the end of this conversation, you want to keep doing what you're doing. Okay. That's all I want to do. Okay. It's like, I want to talk her off the ledge.
In the heat of battle.
Because trust me, I know. When the pink cloud fades, it is a long way down. And I think you both know what I'm talking about.
We're different.
Yeah. I've heard that before.
And again, I wrote this is where my notes actually say, okay, let's calm it down, Rafa. But we've already made that clear.
Yeah, we maybe got it.
They drop off the batch of their ship. Omega wants them to visit. She's like, tell them, again, she wants more people. She wants more things. Like, come.
No, she made friends. It's amazing.
Friends. Yeah, and they're like, isn't Ord Mantell a little seedy? And Omega says, very. It's great. It's that was again my continuation of an awful Omega. She's like, very, it's great. So she loves Ord Mantell.
Yeah.
I'm kind of feeling like that's going to be the batch's base for at least.
Yeah, absolutely, it is.
They're working with Sid.
It's going to be their, not necessarily their Lothal, but maybe their Gorel.
We were talking about we want our cantina of the show. I feel like honestly, this is it.
Yeah.
Like the bar is going to be like the base.
Yes.
And it's like. Then you got Master Splinter Sid in there, you know, just sending him on their
way. Ooh, that's fun.
You know? Yeah, it's good.
Okay. Hunter hands something off to Rafa. What is it? Tech copied the head's info to a data rod before it got destroyed. She's like, why are you giving it to me? And he says, you'll use it for the right reasons. And Rafa changes her attitude right quick and says, huh, maybe you are different. That's where we get some honesty from Hunter, who's kind of lost in this whole thing. To be honest, things were clearer when we were just soldiers.
Take it from me. In the end, we all choose sides.
On the way out of their ship, Rafa hollows their contact. They got the info, and they had help. A squad of old clones. Thought you might want to know. We don't see who the contact is. We'll get to that in a moment. We see a little bit of a shoulder. We'll get to that in a moment. For the Martez sisters working for somebody working against the Empire, tough lessons all around, possibly the first sputterings of the rebellion. Cannon, fire! Whether droid, clone, or in between, the old ways themselves are slowly being decommissioned. Now, who is the contact? Matt Romano, you just went for the easiest choice there is, and it's a soap.
Because, but that's who they know. But isn't it that that's who they know? Like, they don't know anyone else.
In all
they
honesty,
know?
Yeah. It's definitely an option. But here's why I don't think
because
that's
it's
what
obvious.
It is.
But yes, continue. Go
it on. Is obvious. Also, yeah. They've already done a whole season of Ahsoka being the secret holo contact in Rebels. They've already done that.
That's true.
This is also this is, I mean, why not? It was a hit. Why not keep playing the
hit?
So I get you. But also, this is, as we said, this is just so long after Empire Day. And if it is Ahsoka, they're really hammering the canon of the Ahsoka book to pieces. Because she's battling an Inquisitor. She's forming her new lightsaber. She's got this whole thing with this other family. And she technically hasn't even reunited with Bail Organa yet. So,
well,
they could just throw more of that book away, but I think it's just a little early for me personally, if you want to ask me.
Yeah,
you
I'm curious. No, I'm curious what's going to happen, though, because it's very early for them to meet anyone else, you know?
You know who it's not early for is either Bail Organa or Mon Mothma.
Yeah.
Who we said went right to work when this transition happened. I think Bail is going to be heading up things like this. And
they would have been in contact. They would have been in contact with Ahsoka, and they would have been like, is there anyone who should be fighting for the rebellion as we do this? And she said, well, these two sisters who I just brode up with.
So Ahsoka gave a reference, you know, it was like, hey, you know, here's the LinkedIn profile. Yeah.
The ultimate Ahsoka is the ultimate reference in Star Wars.
That's true. That's fair.
If it's or they just found him or they just found him. Because Ahsoka, later when Ahsoka meets Bail, he can say, oh, and also I got these sisters. Do you know them? She's like, do I know them? Caitlin M. Bush, can you think of any other possibilities that it might be aside from Tan Devo, which I think we can rule out?
I mean, sure.
You think it could be a little me?
There we go. I was waiting for that one.
Were you?
No.
That was too predictable.
I do think you hit the nail on the head. I do think it's either Bail Organa or Mon Mothma. That would make the most sense. Yeah.
You don't think it's me?
Probably not.
You don't think they want to come and hug me? What about over the hollow?
All right, you're not having it.
No.
You're not having it. You're trying really hard not to smile there. In any case, no, I think it could be Ahsoka. We'll see. I think it could be Bail or Mon Mothma. You know who would be really interesting? Because they're also, as we know from the book, Leia, Princess of Alderaan, they're in this whole cahoot situation, faking an affair to cover for the fact that they're actually, you know, forming the Rebel Alliance.
Yeah.
So there's this whole fake story going on there. You know who would be interesting, even though she's a royal and really can't get to, she has to be the public face of something else, would be Brea Organa, Queen of Alderaan, who we have barely, aside from books.
I would love to see some Brea in animation.
We've never gotten to know that character in any kind of
I think the only time we've seen her like kind of on screen is in episode 3 when he just hands her baby Leia. At the end.
And again, she features in books and in comics, but we've never gotten an on-screen exploration of that character. I don't think that's likely, but
probably not.
In something else.
Because they hinted at it, so that you got to think that's somebody we know. Yeah. You know,
it's going to be, exactly. If it was somebody we didn't know, they just show them.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
If it was like, here's this new Twi'lek character, the broker, it's like, or it's Sharon Carter.
She flies a ship called the Spirit.
Somehow in this show, guess what? It's Amelia Earhart. She's back. No, I think if it was somebody like that, they would have just shown us. I think it's a legacy character. And this is the whole starting this whole thing again. Is it Ezra? Is it Cal Kestis? Is it Bucky Barnes?
Bucky Barnes.
We're off to the races again. Anyway, we'll be sure to be on top of this, who this holographic character is. But in the meantime, we're going to go to break, but we're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you? Don't turn us off.
Hello. I don't know about you, but when I'm floating around listening to podcasts, sometimes I find myself wanting merchandise with the name of that podcast on it. What merchandise? T-shirts, mugs, stickers, fanny packs, and more. Return of the Pod now sells merchandise, so go to returnofthepod.store for all of your merchandising needs. I know what I'm going to buy, and I'm lying. I'm not going to buy anything. I don't like the show. I'm not going
to buy. I don't care. It does. Just say, stick to the, say the words.
Why don't you say the
just
words?
Say the script. Stick to the script.
Why don't you stick to the script, all right? You do you, I do me, all right?
No, just, please just say the line at the end.
No, I
just
don't
say it.
I love Return of the Pod, and I love returnofthepod.store. If you can't take my word for it, then you can't take words at all. That doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah, well, neither do you. We're back, and now it's time for some galactic points of interest.
Good news has come to the citizens of Lothal.
Comics news coming from Marvel on June 9th is Bounty Hunters number 13, continuing the crossover that is War of the Bounty Hunters, which did a bold thing last week. I wasn't going to spoil it, but Caitlin already was just out with it earlier.
Except we bleeped it out.
Yeah, it was all bleeped up. It was all bleeped up.
I didn't expect them. They brought in a character. I didn't think they'd bring in this character, and they brought in this character. It was very interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, I got to say, though, in terms of the comics, as much as I'm enjoying this crossover event and all of those titles, and I really am, part of me knows that they're all going to tie back to Return of the Jedi. There's only so much you can do here in this period. It's like, because we're locked in, these things have happened. There's only so much freedom you have. And even within
so much
those,
time.
Yeah, exactly. Time. Another good point is that there's never enough time. So, but, and they do, they find a lot of creative things to go into this that I wasn't expecting. But part of this is why I am having a lot of fun with the High Republic comics right now, because they're beholden to nothing. They're beholden to absolutely nothing. And the High Republic in general, it's a completely different time period. Aside from eventually Phantom Menace is going to happen, it's so far away that we just don't know. So it's they can do really inventive things that are tied to nothing, and you really have no idea what's going to happen. It happens in the Marvel title, but I want to give more of a highlight here to the IDW side of things, which I've really been slacking on, especially High Republic Adventures, written by Daniel Jose Older, which is one of the main members of Project Luminous. There are four issues of that out now, and they're weaving a fascinating story in this title. In some ways, it's my favorite Star Wars comic read right now. If you're on the High Republic train, definitely don't miss out on this title, because it's really good. And doing things with the Force and Jedi and how the Jedi find the younglings and what happens if your society is anti-Force and then you have the Force and you have to keep it a secret. Stories like that, that I'm like, I've never had that kind of a spin on it before. It's very interesting. Anyway, it can be found at your local comic shop, as well as, of course, Comixology. I really recommend that one, because I'm just having a great time with it. And Yoda's in it, so that's cool, too.
Oh, he's sold. You should have led with that.
I mean, well, energy is. But I had you with the other thing, so I didn't even need to.
This goes back to our conversation. But also, there's always a little bit of connection.
But also, Yoda. There's a little bit of connection there is. That's true. Yeah. But it's more about these two new characters.
He's not ugly.
Did it haunt me in my nightmares?
Yoda's never been ugly. Now, he's not sexy Yoda, but is he hot?
We're not getting into this.
Okay.
We're not. I'm
okay. You tell us, listeners.
Next week, we're going to play it. We're going to have a new segment called a lightning round called Hot or Not.
And Yoda edition. Never heard of it. Apparently. Yeah.
And Yoda is probably going to come up there. And Caitlin, it's all going to be you are going to be the one that decides hot or not. And there may be pictures involved.
Hot or not. Lord. You decide.
Hey, Matt.
Okay. This is going on too long.
That was really good.
Thank you. Okay.
No, this is going on exactly as it should.
Oh my God.
That's going to take us to an installment of the internet's favorite game, one that just burns up the charts every time we play.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes.
Welcome back to another round of a modified version of Who What Did I Miss? That's right.
Wow. This has been a while.
Favorite. Yeah. It's my favorite game.
It's been a while since we
this
were.
This is a good one.
Since yeah, it's been a while since we've needed to do this. This is a big one, and it's and you could tell because it's its own segment now.
Yeah.
Episode 5 of The Bad Batch included, as we know, an adolescent female Rancor named Moochie. The Rancor was Moochie.
Yeah.
Moochie was
the Rancor.
The Rancor is Moochie.
We got
and
this.
And Zendaya
yeah.
is Meechie. That's how that whole thing goes.
Okay.
Pretty much all of us last week thought that Moochie would grow up to be Jabba's Rancor in Return of the Jedi.
I wanted it to be that.
What did we miss? Well, yeah. We missed some book lore that definitely is canon, and listeners were very, very quick to point this out to us. As one of them said, I'm glad the Padawans got out in front of this one.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I saw that, and I just laughed, and I had one of those moments. I sat down and was like, what is my life right now?
What have we created? What has happened
that... Oh, I'm happy the Padawans got out. Before what? Before it turned into an international incident caused about Moochie and Zendaya. What's going on? I believe our friend and fellow podcaster Leah Elizabeth J, who we love, big friend of the podcast, one of our biggest supporters, always has been. Check her podcasting out if you haven't. And also, one of the biggest, she does one about music or whatever. She loves her live concerts.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah,
and I'm really happy for you, Leah, that live concerts are coming back. She's going to be clocking up the miles. But she was among the first to point out this error, and she expected us to play the SFX that we usually play when I'm wrong about something. Now, from a certain point of view, I wasn't wrong. I just... wasn't as thorough as I should have been. And yes, I am ashamed about that. Still, because you asked for it and because it's you, I was wrong.
However. No, however, just be wrong. Just stand there in your wrongness and be wrong and get used to it.
Haven't heard that one in a while.
We were wrong. Don't put it on yourself.
Any chance to get Bartlett in there, I'm going to take. So,
okay.
Now, a lot of information in various official Star Wars reference books make it clear. Here's the deal. It's that the thing is, Moochie is, in a lot of ways, probably not the Rancor in Return of the Jedi because of a certain bit of canon. Now, here's the references that people are making because of this and this and this proves that it's not. Here's what I don't care about. I'm wondering if you guys do. Willing to bet that you don't. Star Wars reference books say this about the Rancor. They say this about the Rancor. They say this about Bib Fortuna's tenure, about his career, about how long he's worked for Jabba. And he got Jabba the Rancor, and then it can't be Moochie because blah, 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 blah. The thing is, I love Star Wars reference books. I have a couple.
These are the big picture, the very large white books with the pictures in them.
The technical manuals with the pictures.
Me and my brother had all of those growing up. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I had the red spined, it was three of them in a box set. It was the encyclopedia. I still have it. It's on the shelf out there. I just got the new one. Pablo Hidalgo and two other really cool guys made this one, the Star Wars book. No reference to this and that.
I have the Rise of Skywalker one. The Rise of Skywalker one. Because
because it was a bit on the show.
It was a bit in the show. I bought that. I look at it all the
that
time.
That was a spite buy, and that doesn't count.
It was a spite
count.
Purchase.
So the reference, I still feel that every day.
So I don't, but the thing is with the reference books, you buy those, and they're very well written, and I love them, and I have a lot of them, but they're like computers. They're phones. They're obsolete the moment you buy them, because canon is always changing and shifting and adapting. So
That's not to say that they are not beloved and important in their own way, but
they're gorgeous and they're fun to read, but they're always, since canon is always shifting, and as we know, they're always playing fast and loose, they have a canon entry in some of these books. Well, guess what? The premiere of this show just changed that right royal, didn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. I have a controversial take. I don't want to, like, it's...
Do we have a sound for that?
Do we have a controversial take alarm?
Oh, no, here, go with this.
You're about to hear a take that could possibly be controversial. You're about to hear a take that could possibly be controversial. You have been warned.
That's it. Okay, perfect. That's what it is. Okay, so like in the spectrum of canon, I feel books and comics are all the way to the other side of where television movies are. It's probably like television movies, video, television movies, comics, books, video games, yeah, or something.
No, I'd say video games before the books and comics, actually.
Before the books, Okay, I'll give you that.
Before Fallen Order, I wouldn't have said that, but with Fallen Order,
the
I'm
visual,
saying.
The visual yeah. medium, I think, reigns supreme in the Star Wars universe.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Say, and so here, and the thing is, and an average fan would absolutely, if they're just watching the visual mediums, would represent Moochie as the Rancor that dies at Jabba's palace.
Yeah. I agree with all that. That's what we're going to get to. That is that ultimately this has nothing to do with what those reference books say. It has nothing to do with what Wikipedia says, because that is constantly being changed and adapted and everything else. But here is the stone cold piece of canon that is definitely canon, comes from a book, and it is something that says, pretty much says, hey, what you guys said, not necessarily true. And I forgot it. I neglected my Aftermath trilogy canon by Chuck Wendig,
man.
Specifically, the second book. And you could tell I'm serious because I have it right here.
He's holding it up,
ladies and gentlemen.
Listeners at home, you can't see this, but I'm holding up a copy of the book.
It's like bookmarked and posted noted.
It's dog-eared, and I have been through it this week.
And actually, it looks like a manuscript, like a manifesto.
Yeah.
What are you writing in this book?
The Moochie Festo has been written on the margins of this copy of Life Debt.
So many different highlighters.
So this is what you've done to me. Now, okay. Now, this is where the Rancor canon that I do care about comes from. No shade against the reference books and everything else.
Right.
But this is Stone Cold Steve canon. And you can't get past it. Now, here is what it says in terms of this. This is in an interlude, and it's about our friend Malakili, the Rancor Keeper. He centers a whole interlude on Tatooine about Malakili.
Okay.
Here's an excerpt from it. Later, he would help tame and prepare a variety of beasts for the Hutt circuses. Sand dragons and kill wings and little womp rats in their little outfits. And then later, his precious... I added that just for you, Caitlin, because womp rats and outfits... I missed that the first time through this book. And it goes on. And this is from Malakili's POV, so let's also think unreliable narrator, potentially. Been out in the sun for a while, probably drinks a lot. You know, let's keep those things in mind. He goes on. And then later, his precious joy, the Rancors, those the monsters none could tame but he. And now his last Rancor, Patissa, is dead. Crushed by a lucky fool in black. And then he goes off to spout off about how Jabba's dead too. He doesn't know what he's going to do with his life. I had forgotten that, yes, it is. The Rancor was named Patissa. And somewhere they also make it clear that the Rancor, apparently the Rancor is male. So that is, and we, as we know, Moochie is an adolescent.
Is Moochie the mother
Rancor
of Patissa?
This is the thing.
That's another big thing, yeah.
That's what people are thinking. Does Patissa already exist at the time of the Bad Batch? I'm sure somewhere in these reference books that talk about Bib Fortuna and his career, there's a timeline or whatever, but we don't know. So that right there is the only piece of canon I care about. But what is also interesting about that interlude, and brings it back to what you were saying, Matt, about books and comics being over here and everything else being over here, sometimes characters make the jump from over here all the way to over here. Like, who am I thinking of that appears in this very same interlude who runs into Malakili and says, oh, do you want a job? One Mr. Cobb Vanth.
Exactly.
Who we know popped up in The Mandalorian, played by luckiest man on earth, blessed by God, Timothy Oliphant. Laugh it up, Oliphant. Live your life. You do you. Because if I was you, I certainly would. Anyway. Cobb Vanth pops up there and he says, well, come to what used to be Mos Pelgo. Now we call it Freetown. He's still wearing the Boba Fett armor. Did we hear the words Freetown in The Mandalorian, Caitlin and Bush?
No, we didn't.
So they're cherry picking their canon here a little bit, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Why is my voice going up like this? Okay, so here's the thing, ultimately. Now, with all of this in mind, I'd say that it is likely, in the current state of canon, that the Rancor that Luke kills in Return of the Jedi is named Patissa, and Jabba does something else with Moochie. He traffics animals. Maybe he put him in a fun outfit and used him at parties like the Womp Rats. Malakili doesn't mention him, so maybe Jabba gave him as a gift to somebody else. He probably didn't live in the palace because if he was there at that time, Malakili will have known. It's like, well, Batista's dead, but I've still got Moochie. The thing is, when this book was written, Moochie didn't exist, and neither did the Bad Batch TV program. Exactly. So anyway, the possibility is that she is set up in this show. So Boba and Fennec will then find a grown Moochie later on in their own series later this year. Possibly.
Maybe, yeah.
Another grown possibility. Moochie. Patissa, as far as we know, is male and Moochie is female. Maybe either the Batch or Malakili just got the gender wrong and Jabba changed Moochie's name to Patissa. It's like, I don't like the name Moochie very Moochie. You're now called Patissa. It's like, I know my name is Steven. That old TV, that thing about the kidnapped kid. It's like, no, now your name is Dennis and we're your parents now.
it's literally
the same thing. The canon thing goes on from there. Or they just change canon and are once again throwing this little bit of lore out. They're throwing it out. They're like, in this same chapter, I already said there's the Vanth stuff and there's more stuff going on with this that are kind of, if you really wrap your head around it, you can kind of find your way through it, but some of it is pretty contradictory. So ultimately, what you said, Matt and Caitlin, you both said this, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Filoni comes along, and we love that the books are canon, the comics are canon, everything's canon, everything's connected. And they stay true to that for a while.
Yeah.
But now, as we've seen with the Kanan comic, with the Ahsoka book, if Dave Filoni or somebody else has a cool idea and they want to do something that contradicts the books and it's for TV, they're just going to do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And the rest of you can just talk about bursting a pink cloud.
Just calm.
Here's the thing.
You could just choose what you want to what story you want it to end in. You know, I'm personally, it's Moochie for me, Return of the Jedi. I don't know what it says about me personally, because Moochie's like, Omega's riding it in this episode, then the next time we see her, Luke's striking her down. Yeah, I don't know what that says about me, but I enjoy that. I'm choosing.
Absolutely.
I'm going to believe that
ultimately, you're absolutely right, Matt. That's the great thing about Star Wars. You can pick what you want. Your head canon enters into this. If it's Patissa and that's the mother or whatever, then fine, that's that. If it's Moochie, if Moochie is Zendaya and Moochie is the Rancor, then there you
and
go.
And Moochie is a delicious dessert, then everything can be fine.
And
you know?
Moochie is Zendaya the entire time.
The entire time. It's just in a really big suit. Oh, that would be great, wouldn't it? And then, see, the thing is, nothing is contradicting the Womp Rats in little suits at a
and
hut
that's
circus.
That's what I really care about.
Exactly.
That has made this whole Moochie gate worthwhile. Because I did not remember that. And so in this deep dive into Life Debt, I'm like, oh, I just found some gold here.
It worked out.
It all worked out. Ultimately, we'll have to wait and see how the Moochie gate continues to play out. Because we don't have an answer. Right now, it's headcanon. We don't know. Moochie is another Rancor, or if they're changing canon. How will we know? Moochie pops up again in this series, we'll know more. Moochie pops up grown up in The Mandalorian or Book of Boba Fett, we'll definitely know that she and Patissa are not the same because it's 5 years after that and she's still alive.
Great.
We don't know.
Yeah.
Wait and see. We'll eventually know and it'll be so cool. And they say, I'm convoluted? Well... We'll probably have more of this next week as you all have me going through every single bit of Malakili and Rancor canon that there is with a comb. So the investigation will continue. But for right now, we're going to say thank you for pointing it out. And yeah, this got me really hot and bothered. And I wanted to do a bonus. I wanted to get on the mic and do a bonus immediately.
Did.
It's like,
yes.
Me too.
I think
I was mortified. But I dug this out, and it was worth it because Womp Rats in outfits, Hut Circus. And this has been What Did I Miss? And now, I'm just going to turn it over to literally anyone else. The Jedi Master, our next segment.
This is Obi-Wan Kenobi, and now it's time for Caitlin's Word of the Week.
The Word of the Week is... Moochie.
Good job, Caitlin. She seems to be on top of things.
Yeah!
Yeah. See?
Yeah.
It was going to be the word last week, but it wasn't.
It wasn't. It was and now it's the word this week.
Yes. I remember last week it was Scug. This week it was Moochie. Yeah.
This is the best one yet, right, guys?
And also, it was a little chilly last week. This week was hot.
Hot,
yeah.
Hot.
Weather's weather.
Hot, hot, hot.
And there's some things, there are colors and shapes.
Sure.
Shapes and colors.
Absolutely. Shapes and colors, yeah.
That's going to take us into real talk.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
On Twitter, friend of the pod, Rachel Davenport, going back to what we were talking about before, about the bar patrons at Sid's, noticed that the Athorian and Weequay in Sid's bar are almost identical to the prisoners Trace Martellus frees from the Pike prison in season 7 of The Clone Wars. Callback or coincidence? They look exact. It's like they're certainly the same animated models.
Absolutely.
But do you think they're meant to be the same characters?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like that just seems too, like, that they're not just reusing characters the same money.
No, it's too, like, specific.
They do that all the time.
Well, they do, but they put different clothes on them. I mean, they're wearing the same outfits.
Yeah, he's wearing the romp him. Which is the original Athorian when they called him Hammerhead or whatever. Walrus
guy. It is an interesting outfit.
They put him in that, and now
they could get into the whole thing of, let's just call a romper a romper. You don't have to change the name for it, kind of thing.
Sure.
But, no,
if this is a male Athorian, so it's a romp him.
It's a romp. It's still a romper.
Taika Waititi, when he wears it, calls it a romp him.
Good for him.
I'm going to go with him.
All right, fine.
We're gonna split hairs here.
Agree to disagree. Moving on.
This is where this breaks down. Over
this
is
spandex. It's like spandex. He looks like he's gonna work out.
After how many years, Caitlin M. Bush? This is the thing. This is the line must be drawn.
This is the line. Friendship over. Right now.
Wow. Listeners, rompers, romp hymns. What do you think? Let us know.
It's not romp her, it's romper.
That's part of the fun. listeners.
Romper, I hardly know her.
Thanks, Matt.
We're moving on.
Do you, listeners, think I could pull one off? Because I have been a hair away from buying myself one. Question for another time, but, you know, let me know if you want, or also don't. Hello to rejected clone Wanker, who is very active, who tweets at us all the time, and that is one of the better Twitter names I've ever seen. I love that Twitter name. It's a rejected clone Wanker, and then in parentheses, for obvious reasons. So this is our good friend Wanker. They think the mysterious Hollow is an Organa. They just said Organa. They didn't say Bail. They didn't say Brea. But I'm thinking Wanker that. Okay. Sorry, that you're thinking Bail. But also an apology to you, Wanker. If I came off as dismissive of your theories last week, one of them being that Omega was Rey's mom. I was just tossing off things at the top of my head, and accidentally threw shade in the Wanker direction. I am very sorry. I didn't mean to. As I told you on Twitter.
How dare you, Brian, with such an awesome name.
This is their name, Wanker. No, Wanker. I like your theories. Yeah. I really like Wanker's theories. Okay.
Wanker, I hardly know.
Oh, no.
You want to go for round three?
No, we're not. We're done.
We're done with that.
Okay.
Finally,
a hello and welcome back to Jimmy Lyons and Richard Rolson, both just learning that we are back.
Hey, welcome.
Richard actually wrote to me on Twitter and said, I really miss, and then said the name of the old show and said, is it ever coming back? And I said, no. But the good news is there's this show called Return of the Potted. It's up right now. And they started listening immediately. Yes. And Jimmy Lyons, I believe, listens on Spotify, I think. I'm not sure. But in any case, these keep rolling in. The Padawans keep rolling in from, you know, Matt, you know, remember? Remember that?
They keep rolling in and they keep
finding us. And trust me, Matt, you were saying how you're hard at work all over Facebook.
Yes.
Routing people to this new oasis.
You're on it. Yeah, I'm on it. I'm trying. You know, I got to put up a few more posts. But
you're trying.
Know? Yeah.
So far, failing.
I'm working on it. You know, we're building quite the following.
I wouldn't say fail. Failure is a harsh word.
Hey, you said it.
I asked the community join us, and we had a lot of questions this episode.
Let us know what you thought.
I think the Facebook outpouring of the questions and the talk is going to be
rompers
after this episode. We got
a lot to talk about.
It's pronounced romp her, I believe.
Moochies. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man, I got to get in trouble for that one from Caitlin and just so many other people. Okay. But, and to make things worse, right on cue, heads up. Guys, here comes.
See, it's always when we're having fun.
I know.
It's always when we're having fun.
Is that what we were having? But okay. Well, here comes the Grand Collector.
Oh, man. Caitlin, stand in front of me. I can't. I'm not.
Oh, man.
Don't look at him. Don't look.
Okay. He says he wants us all to watch Crossroads again.
Why?
We have watched it twice.
He's a Star Wars fan. He's really into it.
Now, Grand Collector, it's a good movie. We all really like that movie. We all are big fans. But maybe we can take a break from Crossroads. Azu probably wants to watch more Star Wars. So...
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay, he says if we don't like it, that we can just get the heck off his ship.
Whoa.
All right, that's it.
Agreed.
What are you guys doing?
Hey, Grand Collector, can I talk to you over here in the escape pod? Just us. It's a secret. I don't want the boys to know. Just sit over here. Yeah, that's great. Stay there. I forgot something. I'll be right back, all right?
Clear?
Clear.
Oh, yeah! Oh, man.
Goodbye.
That's why they call her the Goodbye Girl.
Whoa, goodbye. Not that sure. I care, but... Is he going to die out there?
There's a moon close by.
Matter.
He'll land eventually and we'll call for help. You know, so it's our ship now, so be happy, Cap.
It's our ship? We keep the... now we're talking. That's right. Yeah. All right. Wait. Can we go back to the base now? Are you going to explain any of that, the alarm nonsense? The take has been unleashed. It's going to burn across the stars? Like, sounds...
No.
Sounds
okay,
bad.
Now we can't go back yet, but you will find a special set of coordinates locked into the Nava computer. We have to go there before we do anything else. Now, hopefully, we're not too late. Azu, have you charted how far that beacon transmission from last week went? How many people in the galaxy heard it?
Yeah. It went pretty far out. People are talking about it. It's a thing. You know, people are doing them.
Huh.
Kark. All right, Cap. Those coordinates, as quick as we can, it's for the good of everybody. Let's see what this Star Binger 2 can really do. Am I right?
Yeah. Let's see what's out there.
No. We have to get there really, really, really fast. Or
all right, well, here we go.
Or a lot of people are going to die. That's all I'm saying. Okay, so join us next week where we'll continue coverage of the Bad Batch, do a whole bunch of other stuff too. In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Return of the Pod. You can also find us directly, Caitlin and Bush. You can be found where?
I can be found at Caitlin M. Bush. That is CAITLINM. Bush like the beer, not like the presidents.
Matt Romano, you can be found where?
You can find me trying to get the lingering smell of the collector out of my cockpit, but you can find me on Twitter at Matt Romano, MattRomano.
Not where I thought you were going towards the end of that. And I can be found on Twitter, Instagram, and wherever else, at Brian Silliman. That's at B-R-I-A-N-S as in Sky Guy, I-L-L-I-M-A-N. So chill with your feelings and hug me. But also share your thoughts. We love hearing from you. Subscribe, leave a comment, and give 5 stars if you're feeling generous. Snoke them if you got them. Take it, Chivi. And remember, hope is like the sun. If you only believe in it when you can see it, you'll never make it through the night. This is the way we have spoken. Many boats. The Force will be with you. Always be the spark.